All right, good morning.
Good morning. Anyway, so I'm Avram Gold. A great honor, great pleasure to be here. I am really honored that Shlomo Abraham Zerushimi have asked me to participate in Davi Shavua in this way. Just excited to do something for people that I see every day. It'd be helpful to you. You know, it's a great office, and I hope that I can. I'm going to start with a little just story just to set the tone, and then we're going to get into I'll tell you what we're going to hope to accomplish today, and then we'll get to doing the work. So it's a cute little story about an elderly rabbi turned previous century, and he wants to travel from Dallas to Houston. So he gets to the train station, and he says, you know, I want to get taken on the train to Houston. So the person behind him says, you know, sorry, rabbi, no more seats on the train. He goes, what do I got to do? I got to get to Houston. He says, well, not a problem. You can always ride stagecoach. Stagecoach, right? If I get a stagecoach. You go down the street, you make a right. You'll see on the ticket window, and you'll buy a ticket on stagecoach to Houston. The rabbi goes, okay. Anyway, he goes down the street, makes a right, and he says to the person, I want a ticket on the stagecoach to Houston. The person behind the window says, I'm sorry, rabbi, no more seats on the stagecoach. He says, what am I going to do? I want to get to Houston. It's not a problem. You can always ride shotgun. Shotgun. Well, the passengers, they go inside the stagecoach, and you go sit up next to the driver. We'll outside. We'll give you a rifle. And if you see any dangerous Indians or bandits along the way, you tell the driver, we'll stop the stagecoach, and you shoot. So the rabbi goes, okay. So the passengers get in. He goes up next to the driver. They hand him a rifle, and off they go towards Houston. Well, sure enough, time passes, and the rabbi calls out to the driver. Driver, I see someone. So the rabbi goes, rabbi, how big is he? So the rabbi goes, he's about this big. He says, too far, rabbi, I'll never hit him. Rabbi goes, okay. So they drive on, more time passes. Rabbi calls that again, driver, I see someone. Rabbi goes, rabbi, how big is he about? No, he goes, he's about this big. He says, too far, rabbi, you'll still never hit him. Rabbi goes, okay. So more time passes enough. The rabbi calls it a third time. Driver, I see someone. The rabbi goes, rabbi, how big is he now? He goes, he's about this big. He goes, okay, rabbi, shoot. He goes, how can I shoot him? I know him since he's this small. Anyway, I always like to say, in life, things, you know, we've learned when we're really small, or people we know when we're really small, those are companions for life. Those are, you know, memories that whenever you meet up with an old friend or an old relative, you can always just kind of step back in the relationship. And that's the way we want our learning. We want our learning to be a companion for life. But as we go through, we all know that it's so easy not to hold on to that grasp and not always to recognize things you've learned many minutes ago. So today, we're going to deal with the issue of how we can take the Daf HaShavua and the Perek Rishon of Masechta Yuma and turn it into a companion for life, something that you'll seek to protect and won't you? Because you have it with you all the time. So I'm going to say a little bit about my background just to understand like where I'm coming from, and then we're going to get straight into the goals. My orientation to learning is very different than most people because when I went, I started at Eish HaTorah in Yerushalayim when I was 19 years old. And many people are familiar with Rabbi Noach Weinberg in terms of his outreach innovations, but a lot of people don't know they actually had a lot of interesting ideas in terms of learning. And when I first got to Eish HaTorah, so one of the things he always encouraged people to do, when you're starting out and you don't know anything, memorize the Targ Mitzvahs. So it happened to be that a Chaburah was put together, and every day we memorized 10 Mitzvahs, we learned the meaning of 10 Mitzvahs. In my first 3 months of just getting involved, we had memorized the Chaburah, the Targ Mitzvahs, which was a great way to see the entire picture in the Seder of the Rambam of all the mitzvahs. Very organized. We actually had a Siyum when Simcha Wasserman came. It was the first time a Chaburah had accomplished that. It was a great thing. And then from there, Rabbi Weinberg had another idea, which I always thought was so interesting. But because no one else did it, neither did I. So time passed. But then as, you know, more years passed, I got frustrated because I felt like I was just forgetting most things I learned. And forget the more, even Chumash. Chumash, I felt like I just... Every year I got back to the parsha, I felt like it was like literally back of Bereishis, right? Back at the beginning. And so many parshas would just, you know, just disappear, just dissolve from my mind. So he had this idea that every single psucha and stum in the Chumash, you know, the parshios, about which there are about 668, the unofficial count about 668, he said, why not just read through the Chumash, and every single psucha and stum give a title to a sermon, or for the first day, Riki, or the second, you know, Yom Mozo Hosam Shabbos Ched. And if you go through the Chumash that way, you can have a picture of your Chumash down to great deal, great framework, and that would be a great thing. Anyway, I was telling someone what a great idea that would be, and anyway, he challenged me to do it. So in the end, I finally did it. And I did five a day. Just read through the Chumash, five psuchas and sumas a day, put a siman to each one. And if you do it 5 a day, it's 668. So it takes about 4 months to memorize the entire Chumash. And what I started to do was to go through a parsha a day, just read a parsha a day of the Chumash. So every 54 days, I was finishing the Chumash. So reading the Chumash again and again and again, and having all these money clear in my mind, that really changed things. And then eventually when I started to teach, I started to teach people how to do these programs. So someone within 4 months of coming into Yeshiva, they could have the entire Chumash mapped out in their mind, and then I developed the same thing for an overview of Shas. So they could have all 505 prakim organized in their mind in Surah of each Masakta. So Torah Shmitzav, Torah Shabbal Peh would not be a mystery. There would not be a mystery. So that's how it all started. And since then, I've done more courses, more crash courses, and now I train students how to do this, whatever they learn. But today I'm going to show you, we're going to deal with the issue of memory. And there we are. Just thought this way, going. Your education is what you remember after you forget everything else. We want to. The more we can maximize what we remember, the more we really can walk away, and we can accomplish a lot more than we're aware of. So let's begin with a question. 9 out of 10 people think they do or do not have good memories. Raise your hands if you think most people think they do have good memories. Raise your hands if you think most people do not have good memories. They do not. Right. That's my experience. My experience is a lot of people. Most people think they do not have good memories, and 9 out of 10 people associate having a good memory with being smart, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean you're smart. It's definitely a great asset. You know, some people, it doesn't make you wise necessarily, but most people associate having a good memory with being smart, which means, I believe, that 9 out of 10 people don't think they're smart as they really are, because they don't think their memory is as good as it really is. So today, my overall goal is to show you that you're much smarter than you think you are, because your memory is really much better than you think it is. That's goal number one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you 3 things. My goals are, one, I'm going to show you technique, a method, very practical, we're going to get to work today, so you'll hopefully you'll have a sense of Perek Rishon of Maseches Yuma in a way that you can walk away with and hold on to for a much longer time. Two, I'm going to give you what I believe are the perspectives and address misconceptions about memory, which I think are holding a lot of people back. And because they have these sense of what it takes to remember, they don't even really begin, or they don't think there's really much hope. I really want to address the misconceptions and hopefully kind of share at least what I've experienced, what I've learned from dealing with it for myself and teaching others. And we're going to start with those misconceptions. And third, my real goal is hopefully to, you know, share some good, solid principles and methods and technique today. So hopefully we come back together and do some more, because there's a lot we can do today, but as the start of it. Here we go. This is what I found. The number one reason why most people don't remember their learning is people forget. People forget. That's really the shocker to me, is that people forget. Because most people think that they don't have a good memory, but the reason they don't remember things is because they just forget. And it's a very important principle, because I was talking to someone about a year ago here, and he said to me, "Oh, you know, your memory courses, I'm hopeless. I have a terrible memory." I said, "Well, I'm always curious to meet people with terrible memories." So I said, "Well, what's so terrible? How do you know you have a terrible memory?" He said, "Well, we were learning Masechta. It was about 40 blot, and we had just been assigned Masechta, and we were starting Chazorah. So it was already, you know, 5-6 months later, and I started Chazorah, and I can't believe how much I forgot. So it's just, you know, I have a terrible memory." And the reality is that people forget. It's not yet a terrible memory, but if you let something sit for 4 or 6 months, the natural mode of things is the moment you pick up your head from anything you're learning, you begin the forgetting process. It just happens. I call it learning blur. The moment you pick up your head from any subject, you lift it up, your mind starts to blur, and you can't remember it was on this level, it was somewhere. Do you know what I'm talking about? That learning blur. Right. So that's number one. People forget. You're going to see, we're going to come back to this, because this is underlying a big problem. The second reason why most people don't remember their learning is that people forget that they forget. But have you ever learned something, let's say, like 3 years ago, and you end up forgetting it, and then 2 years ago you learned something, you forgot it, and you're starting something now, and then you forget you're going to forget it? Just, we forget that it's not a good feeling to forget things, but somehow we just keep moving forward. Even though we're not building up the treasure house of knowledge, we just kind of forget, but we keep going into it. This is a big problem, so we don't want to do that. I'm going to show you today how we can fix that. The third thing is that most people, when they think about memory and coming to a memory presentation, they focus on the wrong type of memory first, which is most people think about sticky memory or memory tricks. I'm going to show you lots of memory tricks. I'm going to show you how I can memorize a deck of cards, you know, or 3,000 people or the names in a phone book. They think about memory tricks. People do memory seminars are usually doing those tricks, which is great for people who want to memorize a deck of cards or names in a phone book or 300 people all at once. But it's not really the thing, I believe, that's the powerful memory. The powerful memory, what I call expert memory. Expert memory is like this. If you have any son, anybody here, you know, children who are just like bucky in sports, I do. Okay. You know, bucky in sports. Somebody that's bucky in sports. Have you ever seen a kid use any memory trick to remember the stats, the years, the games? No, they don't use a memory trick at all, and yet they remember everything. Anything that you do professionally, you just remember like a charm without any single memory trick. So I'd much rather have that type of memory than the sticky memory, because that's where you really hold on to and build. And the difference essentially between sticky memory and expert memory is when things don't connect. When you don't see, and your mind doesn't see how things fit together, so then you have to come up with a trick. You have to create an association, which we're going to do. I'm going to show you how to do it for a Dafa Shavua, which I think will be very, very powerful. But that's when things don't connect. But really, learning is about connecting things. And expert memory is when things connect, then the more you know, the more you put into a structure. So really, what I think the powerful way to begin, at least approaching memory, is just look at whatever you're learning like an expert. And you want to create structure, and the more you create structure, you'd be amazed how much you can remember without any memory tricks. All right, so that's how we're going to start. So where I thought we'd start today with the Chazor of the Perek Rishon is I first will start with the basics, just the Mishnayos. Right, the Mishnayos, at least the way they laid out the Mishnah, there's eight Mishnayos. What is the first Mishnah in Yom Medila? Right. So it's dealing with the Kongol. Separate. So what's called Mephishim Gon Gadol? What does the second Mishnah deal with? Avoda. The second Mishnah deals with the Avoda, right? Every day, Zorak is a dam, Maki is a keturis, Maki is an eros. So he's the Avoda that he does during those 7 days practicing. The third Mishnah that is covered is where they are Kohen Lefanav, right? They read to the Kohen Gadol, right, to make sure that he's completely adept and aware, especially in the times of Baishin. He's Kohen Lefanav, going through the Avodah to make sure that's the third Mishnah. The fourth Mishnah, at least it's broken down, and the Gemara, it's a different, they lump them together, but the fourth Mishnah deals with Mahal, right? Mimoneah, that once he gets to Erev Yom Kippur, they hold back from feeding him the same amount. They usually eat because that'll be problematic, it could, you know, lead to problems of tumor. The fifth one is where they're Mashpia. Where are they Mashpia, the Kohen Gadol? Beis Avdinus, right? They're Mashpia. And the head borshim bochim, so on. They said, but that's what is called mashpia, where they take the shvuah. Why were they in the shvuah, the Kohen Gadol? Because this is tzedukim, correct. Right. Then the sixth Mishnah is with their dorish lefana, right? The night of Yom Kippur, their dorish lefana. If he can be dorish, he'll dorish. If not dorish lefana, they'll be dorish for him. And then Zion deals with Pirchei Kahuna. What did the Pirchei Kahuna do the night of Yom Kippur? They what up? Snap their fingers to make sure that he would stay awake. And he was not me, right? And the final Mishnah in Yuma, the first parak, deals with Truma Sedeshim, right? Torment. Now he was Truma Sedeshim, right? And when it would be done, as opposed to a regular day or on the regular. So those are the eight Mishnahs: Mefrishin Kohen Gadol, the Avodah each day, Kohen Lefanav, the Avoda, then there would be Monea Mafo, Mashbia, Doresh, Lefana, Pirchei Kohuna, and Tormei. Good? How many Mishnayos are there in the first parak? How many Mishnayos are in the first parak? Good. What does the first Mishnah deal with? Mephishim Gon Gadol. What does the second one deal with? Right? The Avoda Kol Yom, and the third one deals with Kohen Lefana. The first one deals with, nice and loud, Mephishim Gon Gadol. The second one is, and the third one is, right. Then we have Macho and Mishpia. Macho and Mishpia. We have Macho and Mashpia. And the last three are Dorish, Pirchei, Tormin. Dorish, Pirchei, Tormin. The last three are? Okay, so we have eight Mishnayos. The first three deal with, the first one is Mephishim Gon Gadol. Second one is Avoda. Third one is Korah. Fourth is Machlo. Of course, Machlo then comes Mashpia. And the last three are Dorish, Pirche, and then comes Tormi. Now, whenever you have a list of things, typically in mind, it's better to group things together if you can. I found what I call the law of five. The most things, our mind can easily remember up to five things. And most things that are, when you break them down, there really are only really five parts to them. But let's see this. If you had to break down conceptually these eight Mishnayos into groups, how might you kind of break them into different groups together? Like, how would you break down in terms of what's happening? Like, could you put some together that may fit together more than other ones? First three. Right, it's the first we do deal with the oppression, the 7 days, right, the oppression the Avodi does, and corner of fun of that, the 7 days are Prisha. The next two, when are they the Monei of the Machal? When do they stop feeding as much? And when are they Mashpia? And when are they Dorash Lefan of? The night. So let's separate those. The next two, Machal and Mashpia, are Erev Yom Kippur, and the last three, Dorash, Pirkei, and Tormi, deal with?
The nighttime.
The nighttime, right? So let's just put. Then I deal with Shiva Yami, the next two, Dal and Hay, Erev Yom Kippur, and Bab Zayin Pes, deal with Leil Yom Kippur. Does that make sense? So let's review. The first three deal with what? The first mission deals with? The second deals with? And the third deals with? Right. The next two Mishnahs deal with? Right, they deal with Erev Yom Kippur. First is, and the second is? Right. And the last we deal with? Right, the first Mishnah deals with the last. Right, Torah, then comes Pirkei Gun, and finally comes Tormit Musadesh. Great. So already we have a map in our mind of the pair, and we can start to be Masader things that fit together into a group. Now, one thing I'll just point out, let's take it from the top. How many Mishnahs are there in the first pair? Eight. The first three deal with what? 7 days, right? The next two deal with? What are the two that deal with Erev Yom Kippur? Machal and, right, Mem Aleph before Mem Shin. Machal and, which means the last three deal with? Leil Seder. What's the first one deal with? Right, Torah. Then comes Pirkei Gun, and finally comes, great. Okay, good. So that's our, now, typically when these are just simanim, there's an easy way to remember, and I always tell students when I do my seminars to students, is that sentences are training wheels for the brain. A sentence is a training wheel for the brain. Once you understand something, most words in a sentence are completely unnecessary to remember the point. So it's much more effective just to break down Marfrishin Voda Korin, just to have nice quick, because if I say Marfrishin, I'll remember it's dealing with the Zayin Yami. By the way, we have Malchokasim in these Mishnayos. Where's the first Malchokas in the Masechta? The first one, Mafishim and Malchokas between Rav Yehuda and right, we have the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakhama holds in terms of who, what do you have to be, what do you have to prepare the Kohen Gadol? Right, another Kohen. And according to Rav Yehuda, we have
Isha
Harris, right? So that's what I would just list, Tanakhama, right, another Kohen, Rav Yehuda, another wife as well. That's Malchokas, whether you need another wife, Seb as well. Any other Malchokasim or mentions of anybody in Mishnayos? So there's one mention, happens to be not much here, but in Dorish, Lefanav, we have Zechariah ben Kaputal says, Karisu Lefanav b'Daniel, right? Besides what they typically, Ezra, so on, he was also read. So I just read, that's it. In that parak, that's all that there is. Reviewed it, Tanakham reviewed it in the first Mishnah, and in Mishnah Vav, Zechariah ben Kaputal. Clear? Good? All right. Let's just do it one more time, and then I'll tell you why later. How many Mishnayos in the first pair?
Eight.
The first one deals with? Second one deals with? And Mishnah Gimel deals with? It's a little louder. Don't be shy. It's good. Loud. That was good. What do the first three Mishnayos deal with as a group?
Shiva.
Right. The next two deal with Erev Yom Kippur, Machal and? And the last three deal with Leil Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. And we have, the first is? Next is Anthur. Now, of course, you want to know where they are in the. Oh, this I just, you know. These are the I have Simani for Mishnayos. So this is what I do. I just, you know, one step at a time, right? You just map out, break things down, and then try to just get an overall view from the set. That's how I put together, just, you know, my mind. The first two probably deal with the Achana, really this is the Achana, and then Talpayasas. Through Gimel, through Zion, is really the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. And then the last paragraph, which we'll get to, is the Inui and Kippur. But just a breakdown, that way, of a map in my mind of how the Masechta is organized and an easy way to reference the Mishnayos. But it's good to have it down in terms of Daf, because you want to be able to say which Daf. So we know, of course, Mefreshin is on Daf base. Where do we have the Mishnah about, you know, Zorik, is it the Kol Yom, Zorik, Matius, and Torah, Metivus, and Eros? Which Daf is that on?
Yudalit.
It's on Yudal, right? Here is, there is Yudalit. Then we have Yud Ches. We have the four Mishnah, Korn Mufan, Machol, and all of Mashpia, Dorish, number on the second. And then Pirchei is on Yud Tes, and Tormim is on Chaf. Okay? So if someone were to ask you, where do you have the Mishnah on Mefreshin Kohen Gadol, you would say it's on Daf Beis. If someone said, where do you have the Avodah on the everyday the Avodah, that's on Daf? Yudal, right? Where do we have Korn, Lefanav, and so on, those four Mishnahs? Yud Ches. Where do we have, what do we have on Yud Tes? Pirkei. And what do we have on Chaf? From a suggestion. Now, the reason I'm showing you the screen, why I'm asking the questions is, many people think when it comes to memory, it's okay, let's see if I can remember. Let me test if I can remember it. And I always say, you only test yourself if you remember something once you know you always remember. You already remember it. Don't test yourself if you remember something you're not sure if you remember it. Because why do that? Just know it and then test yourself. So, for example, on Yudal we have the Avodah of the Avodah, right? That's on Daf. Yudal. That's on Daf.
Yudal.
Right. What was the next Daf we had a Mishnah on? Right? Yuches. That was the four. What Daf was Pirkei Kohen on? And what Daf was Trumas Hadeshen on? Ha. Okay. Let's do it backwards. Pirkei was on Daf. Yutes. Pirkei is on Yutes. Now, I'm going to show you how to remember this more easily, but I just want to point out, that is this hard to remember? Is this a gargantuan effort? Do you feel comfortable that you can know this?
Yes.
Say yes. Yes, you do. You can do this. You can do this. You have time. Yeah, this is, you know, but the idea is that we have a map now of the parak that we can start to put things together, because the more you can connect things, instead of feeling it in every dot, you're just piling up sugyas, you're just piling things up. If you're piling things up, it's just cluttered in your brain. But the moment I have a framework, now everything you're ever going to learn on the first paragraph, or anything you're ever going to review, it's going to fit somewhere on these first 20 dabi. All right? Great. Let's go further. Now, there's a reason why many people think about the sticky side of memory more than the expert side of memory. And this is a very important thing. In fact, I really think this is the most important thing. Excuse me for a second. By the way, you'll never remember anything unless you take notes. You'll never remember anything. So I actually didn't hand out the notes yet because I wanted to show you. You can't remember. Because it would be a pain for you to have to listen to this tape again. That's inefficient. And so I want you to take out these handouts. They're designed for this presentation. They're two-sided. One side, I'll just tell you, to write down anything that you might be interested in remembering in the future. Anything you just might be interested in remembering in the future. Because it's much more efficient to remember those eight Mishnayos than to try to just go in your brain where it's already start to become a learning blur. So those eight Mishnayos, write down all through Ches on the page there. Start there, all through Ches. All through Ches, write them down. And next to all, Mishnah all that dealt with Mefreshin Kohen Gadol, right? Mefreshin Kohen Gadol. Mishnah base dealt with? Right, Zorik Dam. He's already what, the Avodah, right?
Wrote it down
already. Right, okay, good. Mishnah Gimel dealt with? Korin, right? And put a line under Korin. Put a line under Korin. Then the next two dealt with Erev Yom Kippur. They were?
Machol.
Machol and? Mashbiyah. Put a line under Mashbiyah. And the last we dealt with Yom Kippur, right? Well, Yom Kippur, the night of. First was Thoresh, then comes, right? And then comes, right? That's it. So we didn't do any memory tricks, but we just organized it, and then by connecting things, it's easier to see a connection. And I'm going to just point out here that I didn't have to necessarily have the lines. I could just have, you know, I could just have the list here. But if I start to point to this list, and I point, okay, then we had these two over here, right? You can focus, but are you sort of seeing all the other words at the same time as I tell you to focus over here? Kind of see everything as like in a sea of words? So yes. Right. Whereas if I go like this, now, Dalet Hei, Machal Mashpia, does it focus your mind more on those two words? So what it does is it creates a stronger imprint in your mind, literally, because everything else is faded out because you have a much stronger direction. Your brain sort of like knocks that out because this is the focus. So you want to be able to break things down. You don't want to see long lists. You want to always break things down and make sure just, you know, they always graphically, okay, good. Now. Okay. Now, the Fazor misconception. I don't want to write this down. I want to just look at the screen here. This is very important because I think fundamentally this gets into the problem of what we really need to accomplish in our learning for the long term. It works like this. Many people, what happens is they go to Shir, they go through the Sugya once, right? And then, once they complete it once, they start their Chazor. After the Shir or the Chavrusa, they start the Chazor. Now, my belief is that this is really not Chazor. This is really not Chazor. Once a year, Sugya once, typically. Really what most people are doing when they get together after Shir or after learning once is that they're taking the learning process of the Sugya and they're continuing to learn the learning process, until they're 100% clear. Only when you're 100% clear of the Sugya or the Daf or the Amud, only at that point does the Chazorah begin. Chazorah before clarity isn't Chazorah. It's learning. You're processing to clarity. If you're in the figuring out stage, you're just trying to still get things down step by step, you're in the learning stage. No matter how many times it takes to do it, but you're processing to clarity. Once you're 100% clear, then the Chazorah begins. And the thing is that learning takes time on this side. But once you get the process clear, you have it down, you have things down pat, then boom, Chazorah, review is fast and easy. It takes almost no time to review something once you have it clear. Almost no time. It may take a teacher 4 to 6 weeks or 2 months to teach kids the multiplication table. Once you're not a multiplier, it takes only minutes to do review. It may take someone to give 45 minutes, an hour to give a shear. But once you have that shear down, it may take no more than 30 or 45 seconds to do review once you have it clear. So the thing is, many people associate this part to Chazorah. And this part is painful. But once you're 100% clear, Chazorah is actually a lot of fun. And it's not painful at all because you're taking what you're 100% clear on and you're making sure you have it down and seeing things, you know, going over and over until it's in your long-term memory. It takes almost no time. In fact, right? What do most people do, by the way, when they reach 100% clarity? They work in Shir, they work in the Chavrusa, they reach 100% clarity, and what do they typically do once they're clear? They move on, and all of a sudden everything just starts to fall away. And they just move on, which is just a shame, because whatever that time was it took to get the learning clear, whether it's an hour or two or three or four, once you've got it clear, you can package it in almost no time at all. I'm going to show you what I believe is like some variables. We'll just do the math here for a moment, right? I call it the 10% rule. The 10% rule is, it typically takes 10% of the time to review something once you've got it clear. So, for example, let's say it takes 60 minutes to get the basic Shach and Tari down on a Daf, just to get the basic Daf or the Amud down, whatever you're learning. It takes 60 minutes. Once you've got it clear, then it usually only takes 6 minutes to lane through an average block. Just to review it, just to make sure you got everything down. Does this make sense? Is that your experience? Yes? Right, so it's only 6 minutes. So once you've got the clarity, you're there. You got the golden ring, and then it only takes 6 minutes. So let's do the math for a moment. Right? Perek Yuma, the first Perek, one blot of Chazor takes 6 minutes to Chazor, on average. Then, the 10 blot, you could do in an hour, or 20 dalpim, which is the first Perek, you could do in 2 hours total. That's 6 minutes a blot. So it takes 2 hours to Chazor everything you've learned in the first Perek, as long as it's harmless and clear. Once you got it clear, that's, so let's just do, you know, set up a Chazor pace. If you were going to do an hour a day of Chazorah, then every 2 days you could chazor that first parak, just by the math. If you decided I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day in Chazorah, every 4 days you could finish the parak. If you did 50 minutes a day, it would take 8 days, just over a week to finish the parak. If you knew 5 minutes of Chazorah a day, it would just take under a month. But you can, 5 minutes a day, you can find the five, you could keep that clear once you're 100% clear. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Is this compelling?
Yeah.
Is this exciting? Now you can do it. But this is the thing. The thing is, what most people do is the moment they get the clarity, they move on. Or, it doesn't have to be, they plan to do Chazorah soon. But the best time to do Chazorah is immediately after you learn something. So I would suggest that if you're in Shir, then you take that Shir, you know, the Rabbi, or the, and you just Chazor that entire Shir, listen, and see, it only takes once everybody's clear. Chances are it'll take just minutes, or less. And then you just keep taking your Shiurim, and you just keep doing it. If you do your chazor, your blots, or the, what you're learning from the Amud, whatever section you're doing each day, you chazor four times, you'll be amazed you can maintain a tremendous amount of clarity. Right. So that's the idea. And that's what you can do. And this is the thing with memory. Chazor is king. Chazor is king because remember, the moment you start learning something and reviewing, what happens? You forget, right? People forget. So it doesn't matter how well you've memorized or learned something or came up with a trick, even those eight Mishnahs, I guarantee the forgetting process is already beginning to happen. You will forget everything you ever try to remember unless you actively try to cultivate your memory. Memory happens, forgetting happens automatically. Memory is a cultivation. Just cultivate it. So the thing is, if you keep your chazor, just do this, and this would be your goal for the upcoming parak, just and you start going back in your first parak, it'd be very easy to keep the first parak. How many dafim are there in Yuma? 86. Let's say 86. So 86. So that's 81. It would take 8 hours, 8.5 hours. It would take 8.5 hours, really, if you think about it. 1 hour a day, it would take 8 days because of the entire sect. Inside. And the inside chazor really is the best way to remember things. And if you want to remember everything, just keep this pace. I'm just saying it's an advantage you have before you do any trick. I'm going to show you the tricks in a moment. But really, when I did the Simanim Chumash, as an example, where I do Mishnayos, whatever the siman is, right, the more you chazor inside, the more that one siman will ding in your mind, and you'll be able to remember everything else it's associated with. So when I say or on the first day of Bereshis, I remember that, you know, what happened on the first day of Bereshit and what happened, because I've read the Chumash number of times. Same with the Daf. Okay, does this sound doable?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Right, it's doable. It's just a different way of looking at how we can manage our time and resources. Okay, now, that's number one in terms of the foundation of your memory. If you keep this Chazor pace, you'll be amazed with yourself, and it'll be a pleasure. Just keep going through your blot theme, and you'll be able to remember a lot over time. But the second thing is, I found that there are two types of learners. I always say that the most important place in a Beis Midrash, the most important spot in Beis Midrash, is the door. This is the door. Because when you pass that threshold, there's two types of people that pass through that threshold. They're what I call inside learners and outside learners. Right? An inside learner and outside learner. An inside learner is someone when the stop is open, you're in the safer, you can remember what you're doing. But the moment you close it, you start forgetting everything. So you can't access your learning unless you have a safer open. And then there's outside learners, people who take what they've learned inside and put it into their head in a way that they can learn it outside, so no matter where they are, they can chazor what they have. So doing chazorah numerous times, again and again and again, that will definitely increase your memory, but it's not going to give you the real potential to take all that easily access, all that knowledge, unless you do the next step. So I want to show you how to become an outside learner. Just, you know, recently I was learning with someone, and I was going through, I was struggling to go through the Chumash and map out the parshios in the Chumash and organize them in a way that's very easy to kind of build a foundation, remember the Chumash, and I was walking back from the train, we were on the train together, so we walked back from the train here in Passaic to Ridge. Right? We just being at the circle, like, right, Passaic Avenue, and we chazed the entire chumash together in those 3 minutes from Passaic train station to Ridge. We just chazed it outside because there's ways of taking what you learn and making sure you can access it in an organized way. So now I want to show you how to remember each daf. Okay? Good? So here we go. This is what we do. This is not my sense, it's called the tag system, but it's a very effective thing, and I'm telling you, you'll see remarkable peros, and it will change your relationship with daf. It works like this. You take every single os in the olive base, gets a symbol. A base is a bais, is a house. And a gimel is a gimel, is a camel. And a dal is a dal, is a door. And a hay is a haystack. And a vav is sticks. Looks like a stick. And a peg, but six is sticks. Zion is a gun. Clay Zion. Chas is a menorah. Tes is a teapot. Sort of looks like a teapot with a tes, you know. And a yud is a tent, like ten. Right. So every single oath takes a symbol. Now, the reason we're doing this is because remembering where things are in the world, which daf, that's when you need sticky memory. Because why should this sugya be on daf yadalad, and why should that be on yadches? There really is an inherent reason, at least, you know, on nigla, you know, like why it should be, you know, on that. So this way you have to stick things. But it becomes very, very effective to hold on to the instruction the way you can easily reference. So once again, a base is a bais, is a house, a gimel is a gemal, is a camel, a delad is a door, a hay is a vav, is zayin, is a
gun,
ches is a T is a tas is a, and yud is a. Yeah. Okay, great. So let's take dot base. So let's. Okay.
Olive.
I do, but I just said olive is an olive. Olives. Olives. So let's take dot base together. Let's do a quick kazor. And what I do is, I take a sugya typically from each amud, and I just take two things that stand out that I'd like to remember. I don't want to remember everything on the dot, my simon. That's not the goal. My goal is just to have in my brain an anchor, a place I'm storing it, so I can access the rest of the dot. So I just want to take two and yun. So let's say on dot base, what were two things that sugyas are on dot base and yuma?
Parduma.
And let's take one other thing. Let's just take the issue of Prisha. You know, just the first mission of Prisha and Parduma. Okay? So then what we do, we take Prisha and Parduma, and we say, how can we connect those two things to a bais, as a bais, a house? Right? So we do this. You have your Kohen Gadol going into his house for those 7 days of Prisha, and the only thing he's allowed to bring with him is a Parduma. So he's got his Parduma in tow, and they're going into the house together. Great! Let's go to Daf Gimel. What's on Daf Gimel? The regalim. Just say the regalim in terms of figuring out a house, not the regalim.
Right.
Right. Okay. The regalim and.
And. Sinai.
And Sinai. And Sinai. Okay, great. So here we have this is an easy one, right? Everybody's going up. Leo or Ego. What are they riding? Camels. And what do they have when you get to Jerusalem? The big model of. Sinai. Right. So that's easy. What was dot base? Dot base, what do we deal with on the two sugyas? We had
Prisha
and Paraduma. Good. Dot gimel, we dealt with Regalim and Sinai. Good. Let's move on. Dalit. Dalit is the door. What is the dot Dalit dealt with?
Doros.
What's that?
Doros.
Doros. Okay, Doros. That's a layup. Okay, and?
Sinai again.
Sinai again. Sinai again in what sense?
When is Matan Torah?
When is Matan Torah? Okay, great. So you have a door with being passed through the doros, and stapled to the door is a calendar with the exact date of Har Sinai, the Matan Torah. This is a calendar. Does that make sense? Okay, let's just move on. Let's just see. You don't have to remember anything. Let's just move on. But I just want to show you how powerful sticky memory is. Go ahead. What's that? Dot hey.
There is again, but we don't want to say that. Well, we take the Ribui Shiva and the Shemen HaMishkan.
The Ribui
Shiva and Shemen HaMishkan.
And the Shemen HaMishkan.
Well, that's together.
Okay, so we have a haystack, and the Ribui Shiva and...
Begadim and Shemen HaMishkan.
Okay, Begadim and the Shemen HaMishkan. How do we connect a haystack to the Begadim and the Shemen HaMishkan? Now, the great thing about this, by the way, people think memory is so hard. This is so easy, because you don't have to think in a certain way. The weirder it is, the better it is in your brain. It really is. Just the weirder it is, the better. So, the sky's the limit, right? It's just easy. You don't have to, like, come up with the right way. So, you're rummaging through your haystack, and what do you find? First of all, it's all oily. And what do you find underneath? A nice package of? The begun. Fine, great. Dabab.
Nida.
Nida and?
Tumahot Shabbatsibar.
Tumahot Shabbatsibar. Okay, now, Tumahot Shabbatsibar. Whenever you have a concept, like Tumahot Shabbatsibar, so it's hard to, you don't have an automatic picture in your brain, like Tumahot Shabbatsibar. So you have to come up with an image, something that would, what would symbolize that in your brain of Tumahot Shabbatsibar? What would you think of when you think of Tumahot Shabbatsibar?
People, tons of people.
Tons of people rejoicing, right? Okay, rejoicing. Tumahot Shabbatsibar, they can go ahead and, fine, okay, so, Dab, the sticks. The first one he said was Nida and Tumahot Shabbatsibar. Okay, so, Musaf's Nida's hanging on a stick. You open it up, and what do you know? Tumahot Shabbatsibar, everybody's rejoicing around this stick with Musaf's Nida hanging on it. Okay. Zion. What's Zion?
Zion is the tzitz.
The tzitz?
Tefillin at the end.
Tefillin at the end?
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Tzitz and tefillin. Okay, how can we connect tzitz and tefillin to a gun?
They're both worn on the head.
They're both worn on the head, right? They're both worn on the head, and are they valuable? Mm-hmm. Right? The tzitz is made of, so for someone's holding a gun, sticking out the bone metal, give me your tzitz and tefillin. Right? That makes sense, right? Okay, so Ches is a menorah.
Hazah.
What's that?
Hazah.
Hazah, right, and?
The parhedron, the room itself was changed every year.
Okay, the parhedron was renovated. Okay, how do we connect the menorah to Hazah and the Lishmas parhedron? Can't be done, right? Just can't be done. You can't do it, is it? There's got to be some way we can come up with something. What's that? They did Hazah on the Kingdom before when they switched them.
At the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, so. And say again that?
The
menorah had Hazah. So they're renovating the Lishmas Parhedron, the menorah's there, and they're sprinkling the menorah, and they're getting it all spitzed out, you know, they're getting it renovated for the Lishmas Parhedron. So the menorah in the Parhedron where they're sprinkling to get it done. Great. And Tess?
Mishkan Shiloh and the Bat HaMikdash being destroyed.
Mishkan Shiloh and, okay. So you can imagine. How can you get the teapot and the Churban? What does the teapot have a picture of? What's on the teapot? A picture of the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the teapot made of? A delicate, smashable material, like clay, right? And what happens to that teapot?
Breaks.
Okay, just by the way, in memory, when there's action, it's better recall than a picture. I can picture, like, oh, Beis HaMikdash on a teapot, or I can imagine that teapot breaking into a gazillion pieces. It's better to have action in your brain, just better recall. Good, so that's Tess. And Yud?
The Romans taking over the world.
Romans taking over the world, and?
Start talking about mezuzah.
And what?
I think start talking about mezuzah.
Mezuzah. Okay. So how can you get tents? So Romans taking over the world, and mezuzah. Tents don't have mezuzah. Now, one thing I just want to mention, we could say that, but beware of darshaning out a memory thing. That's how it was. You could darshan out, because you're right, it's a good connection, because you say, but it's, you might want to say, like, the guy's opening the tent, and the instruction says, no mezuzah needed, or mezuzah-free tents, the marketing mezuzah-free tents. And, you know, like, you want to picture something that you can see kind of, because the darshaning, you just have to, doesn't always say yes. You put the mezuzah on the tent. Then the Romans are coming, taking the mezuzah off the tents. They're taking over the world. Okay, great. Okay, you're putting the mezuzah on your tent. They're taking off the tents. And it's a struggle between us and the Romans. Perfect. Okay. Here we go. Are you ready? Let's start from the beginning. So you learn the Sefer Yuma. Dot base. Dot base is a house. What does dot base deal with the two things, the sugyas we just said we're going to cover? Para and the Prisha. Dot Gimel dealt with. Gimel is?
The Regal.
The Regal and?
Sinai.
Sinai, right? You get your front. There's a big Sinai. Dot Dalet is the door. Dot Dalet we had?
Doros.
And?
Calendar.
The calendar, which the date of? True. It's perfect. Dot Hay dealt with Hesek? The Begonim and the Shem Mishpat. Perfect. Dot Bob sticks?
Nida.
Nida and? To Mud of Asiba, the rejoicing, right? Dab Zayin, guns. Sits and? Tefillin, great. Dab Hes. Hazah and? Farhedrin, right? Which Farhedrin, perfect, renovations. Dab Tes, teapot. The base of the book was the second thing we didn't put into it.
Shiloh.
Right, it happened to be, by the way, you know, if you've ever been to Shiloh, there's a place you can go where they think where the Mishkan was because they saw a lot of shards on the hill, clay pots. So you can imagine on the hill by Shiloh, a lot of broken teapots with pictures of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, good. Daf Yud deals with Romans and Mezuzah. Great. Let me ask you a question. Someone says, oh, you're learning Yuma. You're learning Yuma. Great. Where's that Sugi of the Shemin and Mishkan? Where do you find that Sugi of the Shemin and Mishkan? It was on? Hey, good. And where do you have... they're trying to figure out the mezuzah sugya of what the no, it's on Yud, right? Ten, right. Where do we have the sugya of
right?
Yeah, you can go. Where do you have Alilo Regal Gimel? Good. Where do we have the sugya of which date was actually Kabbalah Satorah?
Dalet.
Where do we have the sugya Paraduma?
Base.
Where do we have the sugya of the base of Mikdash and Shiloh?
Test.
Good. Where do we have Hazah and the wishes by Hedron? Chet. Right. Now. Good. We got everything? Where do we have what was on Dab Vav?
Nida and
too much of a zero. Perfect. Now this is the thing. And I'm telling you, this is, does that feel good that you can do that? Right. Say yes. Does that feel good? You can do that? It's a good thing, but this is the thing. I know it's goofy. But this is, once you do this, you can now walk out of here, and by the time you go home, it's totally within reason. You can say, okay, the first parak has 8 mishnayos, divided into 3 parts. The first 3 mishnayos deal with?
Shevasyam.
The next 2 mishnayos deal with?
Erev.
And the last 3 mishnayos deal with?
Leo.
The first mishnayos that dealt with, the Shevasyam deal with?
Frisha.
Avoda and?
Korin.
The next 2 dealt with Erev Yom Kippur, dealt with
Malchus
and Mashiach. Good. And the last one of the Elul Yom Kippur dealt with
Torah.
Good. Then, right? That's good. You can do that now. You can walk outside. It's there. It's accessible. Now let me ask you a question. The Indian of in the first parak, which dealt with the Prisha, where do you have that sugya of Elul Regal?
Gimel.
Now this is what happens when someone asks you. Where is something on the daf? What did you learn on the daf? There's 2 possibilities. This is the typical mind when someone asks, what's on the daf? If they don't make a siman like we just did, then they go in their brain and they try to remember everything they saw. It's like a mush. It's kind of cluttered. It's there. And they're trying to access, and then they have to think about it, rummage through what the pieces that kind of come to mind, and then decide what are the ikar, and then give you a presentation. So you have to formulate an answer because you have to formulate. There's no answer. You don't have an immediate answer. So that's one way. You kind of go through the whole memory bank and you kind of construct an answer. Or you can make a siman. Because the moment you make a siman, even if it's not the ikar, if you just picked up, let's say, daf hay, what does daf hay in Yuma deal with? Oil and the begadim, right? So if I say, what's on daf hay? Boom! You know it deals with the Shem and the Mishkan and the Begadim, and then right away. So there's no search going on. You're going to a direct answer. Those 2 things then can tap you into the rest of the daf.
I thought that can link. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm telling you, just based on that, I mean, you know, it's nowhere, you know, it's not hard to get the rest of, you know, all the doubting down, but it can be done. But I don't know how we're doing in terms of time. How are we doing in terms of time? We have time with that? We can go on? Yeah?
A couple of minutes?
Okay, so let's just do a few more doubting. And then I'm going to conclude with the review and steps to think about. And then, by the way, you're welcome to ask questions after, you know, on things I haven't covered. Okay? Should we go back to the steps? Okay, so let's just do a few more. You know all the stars. You know all the stars because
Yosef's
dreams, right? Your base is an egg part of the dozen eggs. Your gimel is a bar mitzvah bucher. Your dal is a hand. By the way, which Mishnah was on Daf Yadalad?
Avoda.
Avoda, right? It's the second Mishnah, right? And then Tezvav is a banana. Because Tezvav is Tu B'Shvat. Bananas are easy to remember, I find. As a fruit, I find round objects just don't stick. Bananas do, so I'm going with the banana. Tezvav are toes and shoes. Yud Zayin is a jazz saxophone, Yud Ches is a football, Yud Tes is a yacht, Chaf is a spoon, and Chaf Alf is a car, if you're from Boston. Right, it's a car, okay. So, what's in Daf Yud Alef?
Daf Yud Alef. Oh, you want to know. Mezuzah, more mezuzah.
More mezuzah?
Yeah.
Okay, and?
And more mezuzah. Shuls, yeah.
Shuls, okay, so you're... You take your rocket ship up to the stars, and you find a lot of shuls with mezuzahs, right? You know, two Jews, three shuls. You know, so you got those mezuzahs on every shul in every planet. Fine. Daf Yud Beis deals with
getting the setting up a second kohen.
Second kohen and
avnet.
And the avnet. How do we take the second kohen? Skunk on gado and an avnate to an egg carton.
He's wearing an egg carton belt.
He's wearing an egg carton belt. It's an egg carton motif for the belt. Okay, good, fine. Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah bucher. What's on Yud Gimel?
Second wife.
Second wife?
Yeah. Had a divorcer.
What's that? And had a divorcer. Okay, so it's an uncomfortable bar mitzvah. He's got to thank both moms. One step, it's very uncomfortable, but okay, fine. Okay, Yud Dalet.
Dalet is the Mishnah, Veda.
The Mishnah of the Voda, the Zork Zadam.
And the Neiros.
And the?
Neiros.
And the Neiros, okay. I always think of a hand, I think of those things that, you know, football games, those big hands. You know, like those big styrofoam, you know, doing Zorkas and Davies, doing Zorkas with those big hands. And what was the second thing you mentioned?
Neiros.
A Neiros. And it's flammable. So you shouldn't use those for the minority. Zorkas and Davies, many Smitivs and Neiros. Tezvav is Tu B'Shvat. You can use a carob. It's sort of shaped like a banana, but you used to get, you know, boxer on Tu B'Shvat, just me. But bananas, yeah.
Is there Shemina Mitzvah with the with the going around the Mizbeach, what the Zrikas Adam is?
Okay.
And going to the Mishnah of Tamid, going to get the tleh from which Lishka on the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, so he's walking around. So you can imagine a banana circling the Mizbeach and the
Beis HaMikdash.
The Beis HaMikdash, throwing bananas into the fire. Fine. Okay. Tezvav shoes. I think of patent leather shoes. Yeah.
It's all the midos of the Ezra's Nashim and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, so midos. So they're walking out counting the feet of the midos. They're putting out shoes to measure how many feet is each Azora. Yud Zayin, we're rounding the band.
Yud Zayin is where is the position of the Lishkas Sanhedrin.
Okay,
no, not Lishka. I'm sorry. In the Beis HaMikdash, where was the Lishka of the Tloim?
The Lishka of the
sheep.
What?
The sheep.
Sheep. Okay. You got your sheep playing sax. And it's just fine. Now, but the point is like this. I know it's you'll be amazed. By the way, will you forget this?
Yeah.
You will forget this. But if you review it, will you forget it?
No.
No. Now let's just do a quick review of the doctrine we've covered so far. Okay? Let's just see. Anybody have like a watch? Okay? You know, okay? So let's just review everything we did today in a nutshell. Okay, can you just tell me again when we'll start? You know, just keep track of time, okay? How many, just time. How long it takes us to review this. Ready? Here goes. How many Mishnayos in the first pair?
Eight.
The first three deal with?
Shiva.
Shivade, right? The next two deal with?
Eric.
And the next three deal with?
Leo.
The first one deals with? Mishnah Beis deals with?
Avoda.
Avoda, Mishnah Gimel deals with?
Correct.
Dalag and Hay is Mafla and?
Mashbiyah.
Right, and then Bav Zayin Hes. Bav is? Zayin is?
Perfect.
And Ches is?
21.
Good. How many blot are there in the first pairing?
21.
Right? 21. All right. Good. Then we have the base in Yuma deals with?
Paragraph.
Paragraph. Good. Dab Gimel deals with?
All regal Sinai.
Dab Dala deals with? Doros and? Arsinai Day Calendar. Dab Hay deals with? Shemini Mishkan the Bagan. Dab Bab deals with?
Nidan Tamajatil.
Good. Dab Zayin deals with? Sisson Swan. Dab Kes deals with? Hazah in the Parhedron. Alright, Dab Tes is? Sheila and
Beis
HaMikdash. Daf Yud deals with? Right, and the Romans. Right, the Romans, right? Good, this is in the Romans. Daf Yud Olive, stars. Mezuzahs and?
Shul.
And Shul. Daf Yud Beis, dozen eggs.
Wearing Avnet.
Avnet? And the second one, right? Good. Daf Yud Gimel, Bar Mitzvah Bacher.
Morse of the second class.
What's that?
Second wife.
You know, the second wife.
Divorce the second wife.
Right. Daf Yud Dalet is? Hand. Tzrikas Adam, and it's flammable when you go to the menorah. Tes Vav, fruit, banana, Shemana Mitzvah, and the Mocha. Tes Zayin, shoes, Midos of the Zohar, and so on. And Tav Yud Zayin is saxophone.
Sheep.
And the wish was fine. Great. Now, I just want to point out, this is the first step, but once you have an address for every single blot, was this hard to do? No, sticky memory is very powerful. The things like this, what you have to be able to make a kinyan on any blot, you've got to make an investment saying, this blot has a specific place in my brain. If I don't give Dab Yud Zayin, Dab Tezvav, Dab A, if I don't give it a specific spot in my brain, I'll never be able to attach things to it. But guess what will happen? The more you chazer Yuma inside, the more you're going to associate things to that blot. It's just going to naturally start to stick. So every time you think about it, more will come to your mind with more chazores you do. And the value of making a siman is that you're basically saying, look, at the end of the day, you know, we're told you have to take Torah Shebaal Peh and put it in your mouth, the siman. Just the act of deciding what you should make into your siman, that itself, and so the clarifying process was, someone said, the neshama. What are some things like, what do I want to walk away with? At the very least, people make a big mistake with memory. They think the following, if I can't remember everything, I can't remember anything. And really, it's the exact opposite. If you can remember anything, you can also remember everything. You just got to do it steps. And if you take the expert approach, start with the macro, build a structure, lay things out, see how things fit together, see if you can break things down, and then use a sticky memory to take the things which you want to stick, but they're not going to inherently stick, so you want to stick them to the dot. This becomes a structure, and then you become an outside learner, and you can take your learning day after day, dot after dot, vasecta after vasecta, and just keep doing it like that. So, is this doable?
Yeah.
It's totally doable. Now, I'll gladly help you out. There's so much we haven't yet covered. Is how to make summaries on the daf and how to take things that you're learning in shiur on the daf. So we haven't dealt with that. But this is the bulwark, the framework. You do this, you'll be miles ahead of yourself and you will see that, yes, people forget, but you also remember. You just have to cultivate your memory and do it in a sensible way. Take the expert approach, you'll eventually know everything one step at a time. I just want to finish with one little word and then we'll close. One goes like this. The first Mishnah in the Boys Learn, El Matzias Shalom. So what's the first Indian, the first name? They look at Peros, right? Peros with Pizarinas. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? It's a couple Karba Arba Amos. So Karba Arba Amos, So what was the case? If it's derech hinuach, it was placed there, so then you can't do it. If it's scattered, even, you know, less or more, it's just, it's, it depends on how it's placed. So no, it's not really a lost object. It's an aveda magas. Someone left it there, right? And you have to discern, right? It's not that someone really lost. You, someone left it and said, I'm not going to bother to pick it up. So the Gemara then tries to clarify, well, what exactly, how does it work? If it's kabba arba amos, so it's, and they don't want to pick it up, if it's kabba arba amos, what's if it's chetzikav? You know, shteikav imen, no, chetzikav and shtei amos, or arba kav and shmona amos. They try to get all these permutations, or shim shmim, mimoni, right? All those different things, right? You know that, right? That's just, so I just, this is my drasha. My drasha, why is that the first thing people learn? Because the first thing you have to realize in terms of losing things is something called an aveda madas. When you lose something intentionally, when things are scattered, there's a certain point where you say, I can't pick it up. It's just too much effort to pick. It's a mess. So I'm just not gonna bother to pick it up. If things aren't scattered, they're there, then you don't become an aveda madas. So the thing is that simanim and structure, all these things, our learning does not have to be an aveda madas. You don't have to let it go become scattered by allowing the forgetting process to take over. Rather, just take what it is, sew it up, package it, and then build on it. You'll be amazed how much you'll be able to remember. It's just planting the seeds, creating the framework, and giving your sense a chance to cultivate the garden. I want to thank you very much for your time. And,